Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Actually, final half hour. We're out of here in half an hour for the Leaf game.
Yeah.
We got Leafs Panthers on TSN radio tonight. And again, it sounds like they're going 11 forward, 7D, but Morgan Rielly is not going to be one of them.
That's a weird one for me because I don't know if you need to load manage him right now coming back. Like, how long has he been back for? 20 games?
Yeah, and they didn't play last night, and they're not playing tomorrow.
But he might either be sick or nicked up. Like, to me,
because that's the guy you got to play.
I don't know. Honestly, like, I don't know if he like would be sick or like. To me, there's no. That's not a load management thing. Like, that's a like, hey, he's not feeling well, or maybe got blocked a shot, or got a wee awkward
anything,
hit the other
night. He could have ate something. It could have been just anything. They're at the point where if somebody's got a little bit of whatever, they're not.
Yeah, they got options. You're right. Like, they've got options. So if somebody's not 100%, why push through it? Which is fair.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, the game tonight, as I said yesterday, they're effectively in the preseason. Like, they're trying to get guys in. They're trying to find out who's healthy. But I do think they need a response, and I expect one tonight. Like, that doesn't mean it's a guaranteed win, although you're getting plus money. Like, I'm looking at FanDuel right now. They're paying plus 114. I understand Florida's desperate, and I understand Florida's been playing better. Anytime you get plus money for the Leafs, that is something I'm willing to engage in. Yeah. I think that is a pretty safe bet. I like the Leafs tonight. And I think Matt Murray and Ned, you know, as we said earlier, with Samsonov going home, he's going to play two of the next three games. There's something on the line for him. Right?
Great, like, opportunity, Hazy.
Great opportunity. If you isolate players, you know, Tavares has got a spark. He's got to get out of it. But I think he will over the final 12 games. Nylander, the same thing. Murray's different because he's had such a different season than everyone else.
Right.
And he's had a different 3 years than everyone else. And the idea of him playing and feeling comfortable and at least offering up that conversation come playoff time, like, both guys are healthy, both guys are looking good, who's it going to be? Then,
well,
maybe things change between now and game one. And it's the only way it does, though, is he stays healthy and he plays well. He's got to play well.
Did I read this stat right? He's had five games in a row where he's allowed four goals,
yes,
or more, correct?
Yes. Now, the Ottawa game, they had like 49 shots on him, a couple of fluky
goals. Yeah, I think
it
was north of 50, actually. He might have had, I think he had 48 saves.
It was like 93 shot attempts or something, right, yeah, on him, which is actually an absurd amount.
But that's the thing. Like, you want to, you know, you got the win. I think you need to feel good about your game. That's I keep coming back to that. And that's not just Matt Murray. That's John Tavares. That's Willie Nylander. That's Michael Bunting. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the guys I'm kind of zeroing in on. Like, I know for the most part what I'm going to get from Marner and Matthews and, you know, the guys that can turn it on kind of thing. I know what I'm going to get from Achari. You know, he's a pretty predictable player.
Yep.
Bunting is a guy that's interesting for me because I think he's way more effective when he gets underneath the skin, when he plays with confidence, and he looks a little off right now.
Yeah, he does.
And when you're off, you don't get the luxury of to play that high in the lineup. When he plays farther down the lineup, he's not effective. So it's a chicken or the egg.
Yeah, it is with him, right? Because he's not in the same category as Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, where those guys are going to get their minutes. They're going to play with prominent guys.
Exactly.
And Bunting's been poked and prodded by Sheldon Keefe a fair amount of times this year. Like, he's
a lot.
Yeah, a lot. Like, he's been unhappy with him many times.
Yeah.
And it is a big opportunity for individual players to make sure that they're getting there. And I think that's what I'm driving at with the conversation. Like, the whole team element of it. Like, we had Ray on an hour ago, and Ray brought up a good point. Like, you take for granted what Tampa's done and you assume it continues. It is very difficult to do it 4 years in a row. Just always be ready.
2 years in a row, let alone four.
Exactly. Like, they have been to a cup final 3 years in a row. They are not the same team they were. Their defense is lesser. Hedman's not having a good year based on his standards.
Like, I get all of the things you're saying, Hazy, but the key is, can you play a certain way to kind of take their will away? Because it's in everybody. Can you make them say, you know what, we played so much hockey over the last 3 years, I just don't know if we can dig down. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's in our best interest to just get thumped here and have a break and regroup and get back at it next year. Can you put that into their heads? Because that's what the mission should be.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I agree.
And that would suggest, you know, can you get into a position, this is getting greedy, where you think you can win the series in five? You know, like you've got their backs up against the wall. Because I think what happened last year is Tampa felt the Leafs were coming off, the Leafs thoroughly outplayed them in game six. Mm-hmm. And then they snapped out of it, and they're like, it's game seven. Let's go up there and win.
Dude, and I love the talk of everybody saying, we need someone to step up in a game seven. Do people understand you don't have to go seven games in
exactly.
a series? Like, you can get rest and prep for the next team if you finish it earlier than that. Five or six is okay, too. Well, four is great.
Four would be spectacular.
I'm not convinced. Like, there was all the, how do I phrase this? Last year, it was like, oh, you can't do it. They can't do it three in a row. Like, they're just too tired. They played a lot of hockey. That was the narrative. The narrative was like, well, the reffing is regular season. Like, if the Leafs think that they could just show up and...
I'm not suggesting that.
I'm telling you right now, they're in for a hell of a series. And it's going to be a hell of a series.
The question is, do they have the mentality? Because the comment I made to Jack Armstrong an hour ago, and the comment is from Inky Johnson... The way you do anything sometimes is the way you do everything. So, like, is it in their mindset to just flip the switch and all of a sudden become killers and be like, we got to bury these guys? They're going to dictate and tell us whether they can or not.
And it is, like, for me, if I think that, if the Leafs win this series, it is going to be a close game where somebody goes, this is the difference. It's a Matthews goal. It might be somebody farther down in the lineup, like the Stefan Matteau wraparound like the Rangers had in 94. Like, it is going to be, I think there's going to be tight games.
Yes,
there might be a couple,
and
like,
you would think that something positive would happen in a tight game. Game one or two, overtime, double overtime. You would think that the momentum would sway in their favor one time instead of a coughed up pass. It has to go their way, as Mike Johnson says.
Well, I mean, you're right. It has to, but it doesn't have to. There's guys in Tampa going, like, they lost to Montreal the other night, and it's like 3-2. They're in their kind of like who cares mode right now too.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to ramp up for the playoffs, and it's going to be a coin flip. So
you know damn well, Noodles, that those guys are sitting in that locker room like Corey Perry saying, these guys don't have the stones to do it, so take their will away.
Well,
that's exactly what they say.
Absolutely, and that's what we're talking about here, where you meet in the middle. There are narratives on both sides, and there's history on both sides, where the history of Tampa is, well, they've already done it, so they'll continue to do it. And the history with the Leafs is, well, they always go to seven, so it will go to seven. Well, not necessarily, and that can go both ways. Maybe they get swept. Maybe they lose in five. I don't know.
Exactly,
but
Hayes.
The idea that it always goes seven just because it's been going seven for years
is crazy.
Is an anomaly. Like, it really is.
To look back on it, though, like, if we've done a deep dive a million times, the fact that they've gone seven all the time.
Every
time. Is insane.
Crazy. Every time they go seven. And, as a result, you prepare yourself for it. I think it's likely because I think they're both evenly matched, really good teams.
Well, and experience and goalies, like you say, Ray said this. I was talking to Ray last week, and we were talking about, Tampa Toronto series, and he's like, again, I think it's going to be a good series, but he's like, what if the Leafs score seven a night for three games on Vasilevsky? But then Vasilevsky has those bounce back games
which
where he makes 50 saves.
Yes.
And he gets four of those instead of three.
I'd argue the greatest bounce back goalie maybe in NHL history.
Statistically,
coming off a loss, he doesn't lose.
But he's like, it doesn't matter, they blow him out, he gives up seven, who cares? But then the next game, the bounce back is like, okay, brick wall. And that's the scary part is the great equalizer. You need stable goaltending on both sides. Comes back to your comment, Matt Murray getting an opportunity here to get his game going down the stretch, feeling good about it. Samsonov having the baby. He'll be back next week. I thought about this. I don't know how you guys... Like, Samsonov's unrestricted next year.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I was
this
looking
is a big opportunity for him.
Well, but again, I keep coming back. This team's going to potentially look a lot different next year based on how this all unfolds.
Well, and that is one equalizer where, like, for me, it cannot be possible that they both equally want it the same amount. I can't I cannot accept that.
Well, you mean define what are you talking about?
If the Leafs don't desperately want it more than Tampa, that is impossible for me to understand. Tampa's got two rings. They've been to three cup finals. The Leafs have either choked out or... No, but it's an intangible...
They haven't.
You cannot quantify it. There's no chart. There's no expected want list or whatever. But I'm sorry. If it gets to a point where you say those teams, they both equally wanted it, then there's something wrong.
Because just got stressed out in the last segment or the last comment you guys made. Like, to think back of all those losses, like, I just, in a split second, it all, like, bundled together, breaking down a heartbreaking loss.
Exactly.
Okay, awful.
And that's the human element. That can spin both ways. Those negative thoughts can get into your head, and it can cripple you. Or they can inspire you. And it'll say a lot about the Leafs. Like, Tampa... They're just trying to add to a legacy. They're not proving anything.
Right.
Right? Like, the human element can show up with Tampa. I'm not saying it definitely will, but they may get down 2-0 in the series and say, we've done too much.
Didn't have it.
We played three cups in, like, how many years? Like, the first cup they won in October because of COVID.
Right.
Like, they have played four seasons in such a condensed amount of time. More hockey than I would guess any NHL team has in history over the course of the 3.5 years on the calendar. Right. Right? And listen, if the Leafs are going in banking on that, then they've lost already. Like, right. The Leafs can't go in saying, oh, we think that they're, you know, vulnerable, or maybe they don't want it as much. It's on the Leafs to prove it and the Leafs to show up and be ready to play.
Right, right.
But I do think, and I agree with what Ray said last hour, it does feel like Tampa is a little... more, I don't know, wounded or vulnerable this year than they have been in the previous three.
I just, that's what's dangerous for me. You can't have that mindset. It's like, yeah, you know what,
the Leafs can't, for sure.
Well, the Leaves can't have that mindset they've played too much hockey. They don't, like, that's what it you fall asleep on that. And then the team goes, well, we know how to win. We know how to do this. Like, and I misspoke. Samsonov's an RFA, not UFA.
Oh, he's an RFA.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, so they'll control this, right? Because all I was trying to think of last night was, what does his next deal look like?
Well, I think the next 2.5 months is probably going to dictate a lot of that. You know, right. You talk about
a
leverage. Yes, like, you get to the playoffs and you crap out, like, they're going to say you're a regular season or they might just let you go. Exactly. The nature of the NHL now is, if it doesn't work with goalies, they just flush people out. But if that's it does...
Why, but that's why I'm coming back to. That's why I keep coming back. Like, you flush guys out, and then every year you're having, like, well, do you trust those goaltenders? Because you don't know them. You don't have a body of work to go, well, we've seen this before, we've seen that. Like, that's... Like, Samsonov, I think, has, what, one playoff win. Murray's got two cups, but the cups were six years ago,
a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's a different world we're living in now. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I like this in a parlay tonight. Three games I mentioned. I like the Leafs at plus money. You're getting a very good team at plus money at any point. I think it's a sound bet. Leafs paying plus 114 money line. I like the Bruins on the puck line to beat up on Montreal at home tonight. You got to pay some juice. A lot of juice, minus 164. And Ottawa getting a half puck at home. Again, juice against Tampa. Like, Tampa has been very inconsistent. I think Tampa's going to want to respond after losing to Montreal. But Ottawa's been playing okay. Like, they're a good team. They're at home. Brian, I think they, if they lose, they lose by one tonight.
Brian Elliott's playing tonight for Tampa.
There you go. Even better.
They might have known that before the line.
Possibly. Get it in now. Three-team parlay.
They would have to, wouldn't they?
I think, generally speaking, that is kind of stuff that can manipulate a line. That three-team parlay paying plus 400, too. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. We were talking about McDavid, the odds of him actually hitting 70 on the season. He got to 60 last night. He's got 10 games to go. FanDuel has supplied odds on that. 5-1 odds, plus 500. He scores 10 goals in his final 10 games. So if you put a bet down, you're getting plus 500 on that. Pretty good odds for a guy who is capable of scoring 10 and 10. I'm not sure it will happen, but I wouldn't put anything past this guy right now. I would not put anything past him.
Carlo sent me an interesting...
Did he?
Like, note. He's like, we did it for a hit on SportsCenter about McDavid, of course. So
okay. A little plug.
Big shots.
Okay, a little plug. I like it.
Today, about McDavid, 66.5 goals or over... because that's what FanDuel has, he said, or something.
FanDuel's got the total at 65.5.
They've got two against San Jose, two games against Anaheim, one more against Arizona. So there's five games of their 10.
Mm-hmm.
In six games against those teams, he scored 8 goals. And then you
Let's play the hit that Coco
sports. No, we don't have to do that.
But it just basically broke it down, saying like, it looks like it's a pretty good chance he could do it, because all he needs is like five remaining games against two against Vegas, two against LA, one against Colorado. Can he get 2 goals against those guys?
I think he probably can, based on the way he plays.
Right.
Why not? He's going to play 25 minutes. They're fighting for positioning out in the Pacific.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, actually, did you hear Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter on ESPN last night when he was going to the McDavid Oiler highlights and his voice completely dropped out?
No.
Yeah, we have it. You guys want to hear SVP try to grind through a highlight package?
Give it to me.
This was last night on SportsCenter on ESPN.
You're wondering, can he make it? Will he be able to make it to the end?
Can he do it?
I don't know. Connor McDavid, leading the NHL in goals. This is terrible. I'm trying. This is what a disaster.
He's got 58 on the year.
Thank you, Steve. He's about to be 59. It's off the man's head.
It is. Another view, you see it right off the goalie's back of his head.
There you go. McDavid. Ridiculous goal number 59. This is a catastrophe.
All right, that's probably enough. I mean,
that's where the analyst can help him out.
Well, exactly. That's his producer, Stanford Steve, I think is what, yeah, his name is, and he's in there.
Don't they have a guy, someone in that building that you got to say to them, like, quick on their feet, you got to get in there and save this guy?
I don't think so, because I think SVP is down in Washington. I think he's got his own studio in D.C.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's not up in Bristol. So, and I get the impression, like, he started the show and it was okay and it crapped out during the show.
Dude, you got to get Scooter Steve in there, whatever that guy's name is.
Scuba Steve. Yeah, Scuba Stanford Steve.
You got to say to him, bud, it's your show now. Yeah. And that's it.
Was it last year or the year before? Didn't Dregs have something where I had to jump in? And,
yes, that was during a panel. You were with Lindsay Hamilton,
and
I think.
Lindsay and Dregs, and like something went south on Dregs.
Yeah.
I was at home.
Now, Dregs could literally not keep talking. Like, this was SVP capable of talking, but it sounded awful.
His voice went south.
And you could tell he was getting agitated with the production, too, because the clips were running long, right?
Like, yeah.
Here's the first one, and then you watch McDavid skate around, and then it's like, can we chop this thing up a little bit quicker? Go to commercial. All right, so tease this earlier, all right? We put this list together. Arod has put this together. With Ohtani versus Trout, we figured we'd put some sort of spin on best on best, but also bringing into play different leagues, okay? So this will be rapid-fire stuff to close the show. Okay. We got Leafs Panthers coming up on TSN Radio. You guys understand? It's all good? Who would rank higher, or who ranks higher all-time, as an all-time player in the respective sport? Is it Sidney Crosby or LeBron James? You go Sid or LeBron, making a better case for all-time best player, greatest player, Mount Rushmore in the sport.
I mean, LeBron, what is it, 8 times in the finals?
Nine.
What?
Nine.
It's LeBron, sorry. It's you can't, and a lot of those teams, we saw it here in Toronto, he literally took them there by himself.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
by himself.
Basketball's a bigger sport, different. LeBron's like a world name, but
they're in the same ballpark.
I'm towards Sid as far as like how impactful he's been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the golden goal, people think about that, like that's in Canada, but I would say I'm still saying LeBron.
It's LeBron. LeBron is a Mount Rushmore guy. I don't think Sid quite is. It's, you know, Gretzky, Lemieux, or and then probably how it might McDavid's in that conversation now. Like Sid has been the LeBron effectively of the NHL. He's been to four cup finals, not nine. He's won 3 of them. He's an all-time great player. He's a top 10 player all-time without question. But I think LeBron can make a significant case that he's certainly in the top 3, if not top 2. Some would say the best ever. All right, who will rank higher all-time when their career is done in their respective sport? Mike Trout or Connor McDavid? Trout or McDavid, who will rank higher when they hang it up?
I'm going to say McDavid, but it depends on what kind of audience you're talking to. You're talking to somebody in Texas right now, Hayes. They're going to say Mike Trout all the time.
Aren't they saying that Trout, like, statistically could be the greatest player ever played?
Yes, analytically, like wins above replacement based on his
off the charts.
Off the charts.
I'm going to go with Connor McDavid.
But
well,
I think one for the hockey guys.
There's an argument, too, that McDavid might be the greatest player who ever played, like, legitimately. Yep. Same thing with Trout, so it's...
But yeah, it's funny, though, with Trout. Like, now it's Ohtani, right? Like, you talk about people in the moment, and Ohtani is amazing, and he's a unicorn. But this idea that they're, like, he's the greatest ever... He's not the greatest pure pitcher ever, and he's not the greatest pure hitter ever.
Right.
He's not, and he will not be considered in either category. So, yes, he's doing something no one's ever done, but it almost feels like a different definition. Like, it's a different, it's the Ohtani category that isn't even fair to compare to anyone else.
But you're right. Like, but you said this to me. Like, that's Austin Matthews being as good as Shesterkin.
Exactly.
Like, but nobody can do that.
You can't, and that's why he definitely deserves all the accolades in the world as the best player right now and the most unique player and maybe most valuable player ever because he can do it on both sides of the plate.
Right.
But he's not a better hitter than Barry Bonds or Willie Mays or Hank Aaron, and he's not a better pitcher than Nolan Ryan,
right,
or
Nolan,
you know,
Ryan,
whoever it's going to be. So I don't know. That's a difficult one to to actually break down. But I'm going to say McDavid on this too, though.
Yeah,
I think Trout legitimately is top 10. He probably already is there. Baseball is more analytically driven, like wins above replacement and all that kind of stuff. But it's interesting. Neither of them have been in the championship series of their sports, right? Trout's 31. He's been around a little bit longer, but waiting to see both of them play at the highest level. Trout's not going to do it anytime soon. McDavid could. All right, speaking of Ohtani, last one here. We'll save some more for the rest of the week. We got some beauties here. Horizon's been putting in work, man.
Well, good for him.
Who will be the GOAT in their sport by the time they retire? Who has a better chance of it anyway, Patrick Mahomes or Shohei Ohtani, what we just talked about? Mahomes or Ohtani?
Dude, as much as I love Mahomes, and Hayes, you rave about that, dude, of him actually being the GOAT, I think Ohtani is just... What he does playing the two positions and being kind of the best at both of them, it's insane. And it's something we've never seen before, and I think he's going to take the cake on this one.
I think there'll be an argument for Mahomes to surpass Brady.
I agree with you. It's Mahomes.
Dude, that is not even close to happening. I'm sorry, you guys are dead wrong on that. He is already starting to break down. Like, he runs
around.
How
is he breaking down? He just won a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP. And the MVP during the season.
On, like, one leg.
How do you think his ankle's going to be this year, playing out there again?
It was a high ankle sprain.
But they'll
protect him.
I'm just going to say the mileage is going to pile up on that guy because he's so athletic and so agile.
Mm-hmm.
And guys are going to be chasing him around for the next 5 years.
That is true.
That's true.
I can't deny that. Based on the nature of the sport. But Ohtani could blow his arm out tomorrow, and then we don't see him on the mound for 18 months.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's Mahomes because everything we say about McDavid could be the greatest player we've ever seen right now. Doesn't mean he's got the accolades and the resume. I think you can say the same thing about Mahomes, pure talent.
Right.
That said, you know, Ohtani's got a pretty good case to make, too. There you have it. We got a bunch more. We'll do them tomorrow.
Nice.
All right. Dear Hazy B making a return tomorrow at 6:30.
Love it.
We look forward to that. All right, so we got Leafs Panthers coming up on TSN Radio. Todd Crocker is going to be in here calling the game. We got Ralphie calling the game as well. That's going to be great on TSN. And it's been fun today. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes, everyone for tuning in, everyone for joining us. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.